Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Those of you that have seen me here before know what's about to happen, so go ahead and get your gears rolling. That's all right. Sherry and I have been honored to be with you the last few days, and such a delight. As always, when I get home, I write a thank you note to the pastor, and I know it gets boring for me to say it, but this church has such a spirit of worship and response to the word. It is a refreshing, refreshing place. And always I go home feeling like y'all blessed me. Hope I blessed you a little bit as well. Amen. This morning I believe there was such a sweet, sweet presence of an almighty God in the house. Did anybody hear him say hi to you? So what I'd like for us to do is take a few moments and have two or three folk testify that when the Lord said hi to you, what was he calling out of you? What did you hear the Lord say to you this morning as we explored some of the life of Abraham? So it doesn't have to be a profound thing. It's not a thing that it takes a long... Don't give me the whole dissertation, please. We don't have quite the space for 350 pages. Just a short synopsis of this is what the Lord said to me this morning.
I'm sorry, I wasn't here. I was joking
around. Okay, all right. That's all right. That's quite all right. Amen. Yes, sir. And this was on Facebook this morning because he wasn't able to get here. Be okay. Gonna be okay. Amen. When the Lord says hi, he says hello, that means he's there. What can go wrong when Jesus is in the boat? If he's close enough to say hi, that means he's there with you. And whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Someone else, you heard the Lord say hi to you this morning. Yes, sister. Beautiful, beautiful. When he says hello, amen, that means hope's knocking on the door. Amen. The world has given us terror the last year or two with the unmentionable word that Pastor just said. And if we are not careful, we'll let that control how we respond to situations. We're going to learn how to respond to the one that says hi to us instead of those terror things of the world. Excellent. One more person. Yes, sister. Beautiful. Beautiful. When he says hi, he is that Prince of Peace. He is the one that welcomes us near. He never pushes us away. Some people say that Adam and Eve were cursed after their sin. That is not true. Go back and read chapter 3 of Genesis again. Adam and Eve were not cursed. They had the consequences of their sin. There's a difference between the consequences of your sin and a curse. Some people live thinking that they are cursed. Now, the snake got a quadruple amputation and a forced diet change, eating dust for the rest of his life. The ground was cursed, but Adam and Eve were not cursed. God is the one who is here tonight to bring life and joy and peace and hope and comfort and grace. He's still saying hi to you and to me. And what a delight to know that he will never do what I'm doing right now, turn his back on us. His face will always shine on us. That's what the high priests were called to bless the people, was a blessing. Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you, give you that kind of peace. So we're going to pick up with part three of the sermon. I told you all on Friday night that I wouldn't preach the whole thing at one whack, and everybody said amen. So we'll pick up with part three this evening. This morning when God says hello, this evening we're going to look to the journey to find the real problem. Troubleshooting is always a challenge, isn't it? My brother and I were doing some sawmill work the other day in southern Missouri, and we got in, several hours and got into a log and got to the end, and all of a sudden the motor shut down on the sawmill, and let it wait a little bit, restarted it, cut a few more slabs, and it shut down again. He's been spending 3 or 4 days since then troubleshooting. Is it bad fuel? Did something clog the lines? And is it getting enough? Is the oil in the right place? And on the list goes. You and I live daily troubleshooting situations around us. It almost is in the back of our mind. What's going on? How can I fix it? How do I move forward? So this evening, part three of the sermon we started on Friday, is walking on this journey to find the real problem. As we turn to chapter 12, verse number 10. Now this is after the call, and this is after Abram says yes to the Lord's call. Genesis 12, verse number 10. And there was a famine in the land. Well, thank you, God. Start walking. What's the next thing we see? He walks smack dab into a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt. God called him to Canaan's promised land. And Abram went to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, behold now, I know that you are very, very cute. And people look on you, and they're wowed by your beauty, your fair woman to look on. Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians will see you, that they will say, this is his wife, and they're going to kill me, and they will save you. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for my sake. And for my soul shall live because of the price you pay. Came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was indeed very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. These were his scouts running around the country looking for the most beautiful of women. Hey, Pharaoh, we got a live one on the line now. Woohoo! Kind of nice that there was a famine in Canaan. Sending some more cuties this way. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house, his harem. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep and oxen and asses and men servants and maid servants and she donkeys and camels. Wow, she must have been quite a looker, that this was the price that he paid for Abram's sister. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plague because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said unto him, what is this that you have done? What did you do to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? And why said you, she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go your way. Pharaoh commended his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. We, as we're troubleshooting the situations in life around us, we have this innate human need, as children do. You know, children are so pliable and pleasant, and they'll let you do everything for them until they hit terrible twos. Some have an early onset terrible twos. Happens about 18 months. Some do it a little bit later. But they all get there to the place where it's me, do it. And about that time, it takes three times as long to get ready to go anywhere because they have to pick out their own clothes and they have to pick out their own shoes and they got to put on their socks and then they got to put their shoes on their own feet. Invariably, I don't know why, that the law of averages are blown out the window, because invariably the right shoe gets on the wrong foot, or whichever way that happens to be. And thank God for whoever invented Velcro, because that collapsed the time down quite a bit. Didn't have to undo the knots along the way. But children exhibit the human condition for all of us. That is, I can do it by myself. We used to sing a horrible song. If you've tried everything and everything else has failed, try Jesus. You realize how horrible that song is. Don't try Jesus when you've exhausted all other possibilities. Call on his name first and see what he would choose to do in the situation. We have to learn, as children do. They journey from dependence to independence, and then those who mature into adulthood in a healthy way mature into interdependence, knowing that their lives are linked with the lives of others. As we examine Abram's life, we see some learning that is needed, even though he said yes to God's hello. We're not yet to chapter 22 where he says, here am I. We are all on a journey in 2022, and here's the journey that I put in front of you. Could we please learn what the real problem is? Your headache's not the problem. Your bank account's not the problem. Your spouse isn't the problem. Your kids aren't the problem. The weather's not the problem. That naughty C word is not the problem. Government's not the problem. Those aren't the problems. So as we look at Abram's life, we can see some challenges that he faced. First challenge he faced was what Sarah was barren. And we recognize the way in which this is a natural challenge. And we live in a world today with increased numbers of couples who can't have children for varieties of reasons. Sarah experienced that, as would her future daughter-in-law that she never had a chance to meet. They both experienced barrenness. When Abram recognized Sarah's barrenness, that challenge that was there would call him to fret and worry and be concerned, because God said, you'll have a child. But nature said, Sarah is barren. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is calling Apostolic Faith Church in 2022 to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. Learn to walk by faith and not feelings. How many times we'll say things, well, I haven't felt God lately. You don't have to feel God to know that God is alive and God is in control. You've been baptized in his name. If he was alive yesterday, then he's alive today, and he's going to be alive tomorrow. We do not come to corporate worship to feel God. That's an immature reason to come to corporate worship. We come to worship to worship. We worship him because of his greatness, his mercy, and his goodness. So when natural things like barrenness of Sarah comes smack dab in line as a barrier to God's promises, God wants
apostolic church and you individually and as families, as couples, as ministry teams, to experience some amazing kingdom direction movement in 2022, but there will be some natural barriers that come along the way. Snowstorms will probably, this isn't the only one, and it wasn't really a storm. It was just, I grew up in upstate New York, kind of like it is here. Anything under a foot doesn't even count. In Texas, I think they measure snow by eighth of an inch. Y'all don't even measure it until it hits a foot. Why? Because why worry about the little stuff? If we are not careful, we will experience, when we experience, not if we experience, but when we experience natural barriers this year, that would include health. That would include disasters that may come our way, such as the firestorm in Colorado or the tornadoes in Kentucky. Or power outages for whatever reason, these natural challenges. If we are not careful, we interpret the challenge as the barrier to God's promises. I want to ask you today, who can block God's promises? How big a wall do you have to build to block out God's promises? What kind of noise generator do you have to block out God's promises? There have been several foreign countries combat our embassies with ultrasonic sound waves. That they point these wave generators at our embassy buildings, and then people inside of those buildings experience all kinds of illnesses. They can't hear the sound. It's just those waves hitting the building in a constant creates conditions in bodies which drive them sick, and they can't diagnose what the problem is. Governments have found you don't have to shoot at people in the building, just send sounds at them. Brothers and sisters, there is no sound generator that can hinder your God. There is no sound generator that can stop your prayers reaching the ears of an almighty God. There is no barrier. There is nothing in heaven or on earth or beneath the earth that has the capacity to say God may not be able to achieve his objectives. John 1 says he was the light, and light came into the world, and darkness could not stop it. I doubt very many of you have a darkness switch in your house. And you hold the two switches, the light switch and the dark switch, and you hit them at the same time. I'm going to turn on light, I'm going to turn off dark. There is no need to turn off dark. All you got to do is turn on the light, and the light pushes the darkness. I don't know where it goes. I don't see it running, scouring into the corners, hovering in fear because light has come into the room. I frankly don't care. I want light, and dark is gone. The barriers that you're going to face in 2022 do not have the power to impede what God has planned for his people. The famine that was in the land, God said, I have a place for you, and I'm going to put you and your family in this place. And now all of a sudden, famine comes. Now, this is a generational threat. Sarah's barrenness had two generations. This famine has four generations threatened by it. Abraham experiences it. Isaac experiences it. Joseph experienced it, and his 11 brothers do, and his dad do. We see at least those 12 generations, those four generations, and then we see 400 years consequences of that drought that had come. So this famine that came into the promised land, now this sometimes gets confusing to you and me. God, you called me here, right? And you love me, right? Then if you love me and you're all powerful and you called me here, how come I walk straight into the dust bowl? Walk straight into a drought. Don't you love us? Don't you care for us? Where did you lose your way, oh God? Brothers and sisters, in 2022, we've got to be on a journey to find the real problem. Famines and droughts, they are not the problems. Generational threats, generational concerns, or generational sufferings. They are not the barrier. If God called you to be his son and daughter, then he is well able to supersede intergenerational crisis that you may have encountered. My mother she experienced from time to time some what you might call melancholy moments. I don't know if she was ever clinically depressed, but my mother could experience some negative emotive moments, and I can do the same, and at least one of my daughters can do the same. It's a intergenerational piece, and if any of you have suffered with depression kinds of things, you know how debilitating it can become. I believe God still called my mama's name. I believe God still said hi to me, and he's saying hi to me tonight. And my daughter, he's called her name, and it's his desire to be near her and with her. This generational challenge that we have of some depressive moments and melancholy spirit, they cannot hinder what God has called us to do. My melancholy, my fears, my anxieties, they are nothing to an almighty God. Instead, I'm going to cast all my anxieties on him because he cares for me. These natural challenges could be interpreted as the problem. If I did not have this problem, if I did not have an autistic child, or if I didn't have a parent with Alzheimer's thinking skills, right? If I could have just made the cut in the last time the plant was shut down, my finances would be far different, and I wouldn't have to work 50 or 60 hours a week. If I had just hit that spot, the enemy tried to bring some of those things into my spirit last week of some thing, an accident that happened to me in 1991. And the enemy wanted to bring up one more time, if that hadn't happened or your response to it hadn't been what it was, then things would be different. Brothers and sisters, that does not hinder an almighty God. Our responses sometimes to these challenges, to barrenness and the famine in the land, sometimes creates even more threats to God's promises. Sarah's barren, so for a while Abraham thought maybe Lot would be his inheritor. I'll just take my nephew. Make my nephew the one. And then after a while he found out that his nephew had fights with his own servants, and there were fights in between. And he found out that his nephew had his eye towards comfort and not righteousness. When he's brought out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the angel says, get to the mountains. Lot's response, there's a little city over here called Zoar. It's not a very big city. I know you told me to go to the mountains, and I know I had problems in big cities, but it's just a little city. I'm afraid I'm going to die in the mountains, but can I just go into this little city? Abraham could not have an inheritor who chose pleasures of this world over righteousness with an almighty God. God would not allow that inheritance to take place. So Abraham had to come to an awareness that Lot's not going to be the solution. And of course, you know the Ishmael Hagar scenario that was there. I didn't read the passage this morning, but I think it's in chapter 17 where Abraham says to God, can't you let Ishmael be the one? Can't you let this happen? And God said, no, because I made this promise to you and to Sarah. Ishmael, I'm going to bless him, and he's going to become a mighty nation, but he is not the answer. Abraham's responses to the threat caused more and more challenges to God's promises. Brothers and sisters, in the hour in which you and I live, the real problem is not what's outside. The real threat is what's inside. Abraham had to learn to trust in God. And as we mentioned this morning from Genesis 22, when God said hello on that time, Abram had walked long enough to God with God to know, I'm not going to come up with my own answer. I'm just going to say, here I am. What would you have me to do? Our solution in 2022 is not going to be, how can we overcome our problem? Our solution is going to be, how can I trust the one who calls me into to himself? How can I trust him more in 2022 than I did last year? So when fear comes your way, don't attack whatever caused the fear. Don't attack what caused the fear. Go to God in prayer and say, Lord, I've allowed my lack of trust in you to eclipse your promises and your plan and your purpose. I'm not talking now primarily about being saved. I'm talking primarily about living out God's redemptive plan and redemptive purposes in this world. When the famine came along, instead of staying in the promised land, brothers and sisters, if God took you someplace, he can provide for you there. You remember the prophet who found himself by the river with no means of support? So what did God do? He used airmail. God had his control on, what are those little things that hover around? Drones. God was the original drone flyer. So these ravenous birds of prey would pick up pieces of meat, and God would, as a drone, would bring it down to the prophet. And when that creek dried up, he sent him out of his own nation to another place because God was going to provide for him in that season. It became a means for a widow woman and her son to receive redemption as well. The threat sometimes is to leave the promises when things get too difficult. I'm asking you, would you trust God in 2022? Don't go someplace else. Don't be running someplace else, finding a greener pasture, a place where there are more things for me. No, if God took you someplace, he has a purpose and a design for you there. Instead, start praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, I don't know how you're going to get me through this drought, but that's your business, not mine. We go back to two-year-old mode. Me do it. God's not providing. So me gonna do it. God's not taking care of this turmoil I have in my mind. So me gonna do it with me own strategy. Oh no, it's time in moments like that you fall on your knees before God one more time and say, you're still holy. When I haven't seen rain for years, you're still holy. When the ground doesn't produce, you're still holy. You're still righteous. And beside that, you called me to this place and you said that this would be a promised place and you said it would flow with milk and honey. So right now I lay claim to those promises and I will trust you completely. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I trust you. You wouldn't have brought me this far to leave me here. Now notice when he ran away to a strange land and used deception to deliver himself, it harmed those he was sent to bless. As we read this morning, you're going to be blessed abundantly so that you can bless the world. So the first person he winds up cursing is his own wife. She winds up carrying the shame of the story. Tragically, he doesn't learn it in Egypt. Does the exact same thing in Gerar in chapter 20. He does the exact same thing again. And in that case, God shuts up the womb of all of the women, and I think all of the cattle as well, because Abraham was sent to be a blessing. But by using deceit to get around the problem of a drought, God harmed those that Abraham was supposed to bless. See, here's the challenge, brothers and sisters. This isn't about me, and it's not about you. When you're in the middle of a challenge, you say, woe is me. Look at what I am going through. But little as I'm going through a real struggle right now, it's about me. I have a crisis. I don't know what I'm going to do. I believe God's calling Apostolic Church, and He's calling the whole His sons and daughters around the globe to recognize when you go through a storm, it's not about you. It's about the demoniac that's on the other side of the sea waiting for you to ride through the storm and to experience a deliverance from an almighty God. That when you step on the other side of the sea, 2,000 demons can't hold someone back that has a desire to encounter Jesus. But when we use our own strategies, it will always lead to deceit. Our strategies will always be deceptive, because there is only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Jesus says in John chapter number 10, there's only one door. And if you come in by any other way, you're a thief and a robber. So when I start using my own strategies, I'm using deceit. I'm telling people God is real, but I'm not acting like it. I'm telling people God answers prayer, but I don't believe it. I'm telling people, come to church with me and you'll experience the delivering God. Meanwhile, I'm trying to solve my own situation. That's called deceit. I'm thankful that God is merciful towards us. I'm thankful that God was merciful towards Abraham. Abraham functioned in deceit at least these two different occasions, but God was faithful and says, I started something in you. When I called you, I didn't call you to just lose you halfway through the story. I had a plan for your life. Brothers and sisters, there's someone in the room right now. You've been walking in deceptive practices spiritually, trying to find your own solution, but the Master is saying hello to you one more time. And don't let yesterday's false strategies hinder you from a faithful walk today. Our God is an awesome God, and He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything that He's ever said. We know from 2 Corinthians that Paul had a problem in his flesh. He had a disease in his body or something like that, and prayed three times that the Lord would take it away. I believe that it's time for us as sons and daughters of an almighty God to pray the fervent prayer of faith, anointing with oil. But after we've done so several times and God has said no or not yet, our prayer needs to shift. Instead of continually beating God and saying, heal me, heal me, heal me, when He has said, I'm not ready to just yet, or I'm not going to, our prayers should shift and say, God, if You're choosing not to heal me, I want You to use this situation in my body for Your glory. So You can get glory by healing me, or You can get glory by some other means. So right now, I lift up my illness as a sacrifice to You, oh God. However You want to use this circumstance, to God be the glory, because it's not about my feeling good. It's about You getting glorified. You see the maturity that it takes to pray that way? Immature faith says it's all about me and God wants me to feel good all the time. Mature faith says, Lord, You're in charge and You have sent me to be a witness in the world. Sometimes He witnesses through our illnesses. Sometimes He witnesses through our losing our jobs and having our homes burned down. You say, oh, that's not a good witness. Here's a better witness. God put two Mercedes-Benz in all of our driveways. And if our garages aren't big enough, wake up in the morning and there'd be a 2.5-car garage there. But have to put all your junk and the two to put your Mercedes in there. And it would be wonderful. God would give us all pay raises and we would all excel. That's not the witness God wants to show our world, because He doesn't want people serving Him for the loaves and the fishes. He wants people who are willing to walk by Calvary's hillside and experience the cross of Jesus Christ and then pick up their own cross and follow Him, so that the world know it is worth following Jesus, whatever path He chooses to take you. So in this coming year, pray faithfully, Lord, bring healing to this situation. Then if through His actions He says it's going to be a while, then switch your prayer over to say, Lord, however You want to be glorified in this situation. I surrender it to you. Surrender it to you. Because you see, God called you and you and you and you and you and me and us collectively so that we could be a light to our world. We going through crises and maintaining hope. We going through crises and maintaining the joy of the Lord and still coming to his house and worshiping and fellowshipping with brothers and sisters instead of running out of the promised land. Illness is not a time to run away from God. It's time to lean on him. Financial crisis isn't time to get a different answer. God is an amazing sustainer. I'd like to see the hands of those in the room who God has provided for you in the past. I mean, really, provide. I have to confess, there have been times I didn't know what I was going to do, but my God was able to do what was needed in that hour. And God is not going to stop providing in 2022. The problem is when we use deceit, when we use skirting faith to come up with our own solutions, it brings suffering to those that need the hope of Jesus. The first plagues in Egypt were not those during the times of Moses. The first plagues in Egypt were the time of Abram. When Abram goes into Egypt, and because of his deceitful practices, someone took his wife Sarai into their harem, and the Lord had to bring plagues on the land. Egypt wasn't the center there. Abram was the center. And Gerar, he uses the same deceptive practices, and God actually appeared to Abimelech in a dream in the night, saying, what have you done? You've taken a married woman. And Abimelech goes to Abraham and said, what have you done? You brought God's wrath on us. Someone might have laid with Sarah and caused great shame to happen here. I am so thankful that our God is merciful. There have been times I've used spiritual deception. I've tried to find my own solution instead of casting myself at the feet of a loving Savior. I'm so thankful that he continues to call your name and call my name. And we're going to say, yes, Lord, in the times of famine so that our world might know Jesus. As we're chasing down the real problem, what's your problem? The real problem, the real threat in 2022 is the threat of the challenge of trusting God. First challenge of trust is that God really called you. Abram had to have it settled. I was really, really, really called. You can read about it for the callings of the disciples. Leave your nets, follow me, and I will make you fisher of men. They had the call of God on their life. Saul of Tarsus had an Ananias that came his way and said, Brother Saul, the Spirit appeared to me in a dream and told me to come and pray for you, that there would be healing on your eyes and that you would be a witness before kings. Saul held on to that call. I want to ask you this night, do you really trust that God called you by name for this time, for this season? Do you trust God really called Apostolic Church for this hour, that this is the hour for God to do an amazing thing? You've got to trust God called. Abram had to trust God called. Secondly, we got to trust that God promised. God didn't call you primarily to take you to heaven. God called you to be salt and light in the world. He called us to be witnesses to him, as I read this morning from Acts 1 and 8. That's why Jesus left. The last things they heard from the mouth of Jesus is go and be witnesses in the world that's around you. That's what Jesus has called us to do, and this is the promise. This is the promise. There is more than enough light in this room. There's more than enough light in this room to go into every corner of the county. There's enough light in this room to reach out into encounters with everyone that you meet on the job or in the marketplace. That's what God has promised. God has promised I want an end-time outpouring of my Spirit. God has promised I want every nation and family to be blessed. And his promise is I'm going to do it through my people. Greater works than these shall ye do. John the Baptist's disciples came to Jesus one day and asked, "Are you the one, or should we look for another?" Jesus said, "Go tell John these are the things that have happened." And then soon as they were turning out of earshot, Jesus said, "Who did you go to see? That prophet John? Did you look for somebody who was well-dressed? Did you look for someone who had fine words? No, that's a prophet. He was alone. And John is the greatest of the prophets, but the least in the kingdom." The least in the kingdom. There are some in this room tonight that God, the enemy has convinced you that you are the least in the kingdom and that you are not valuable. Even if that is true, that you're the least in the kingdom, you have a greater witness than John the Baptist had. The greatest of the prophets before Jesus was John, and you have more power and authority and dominion and a greater voice than John ever had. John was able to speak to kings, and John was able to speak to soldiers, and John was able to speak to tax collectors, and you and I have received a voice, and that's God's promise. That the world is going to be transformed by his people. And on that last day, we will be caught up together in the air to be with him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But between this moment and that moment, we have a journey to walk. And we got to walk with complete trust in Jesus. Now, God's promises are different than my promises. I can promise something, but I don't always have the power to pull it off. Princess and I started our ministry together teaching the little kids in Sunday school class. I think we had the 5- and 6-year-olds. That was our Sunday school class. We tried to do our best to teach those little energetic beings bouncing off of the walls, that kind of thing. And then one day I was going to teach them on trust. And I said, "It's like this. Watch Sister Sherry. She's going to hold out her arms, and she's going to trust me completely. And Sherry, do you trust me?" "Oh, Jim, I trust you. And I love you. And I know that you would never let me down." So, you know, because I started this story, it doesn't end well, right? She began to lean back, and my hands were there to catch her, and somehow I dropped her, and she hit the ground. I had promised to catch. I had promised to sustain. I had promised to hold her up. And my intent was good, but my ability was lacking. Is there anyone here that doubts this evening that God's intent can't be matched by God's power and God's authority and God's dominion? If he promised it to you, it shall come to pass. He said this through the prophet Jeremiah, "Consider my covenant with the sun." Nobody can break my covenant with the sun. Nobody can stop the sun and its ability to shine light into the world. Nobody can break the covenant with the moon to reflect the light of the sun. If nobody can break my covenant with the sun, how much more they are unable to break my covenant with my people. It is more sure that God's promises will come to pass than it is that the sun will come up in the morning. You may be as anxiety-ridden as my family is from time to time, but I have never gone to sleep at night saying, "Oh, I'm so afraid the sun isn't coming up tomorrow. So afraid. It's come up for these last thousands of years, but tomorrow could be the day that it doesn't work. Tomorrow could be the day that the star collapses and it implodes on itself. And how long would we last if the..." We just look at our phone app and see what time the sun rises if we're hunting and don't take a shot 5 minutes before. There's no question that the sun is going to rise. The only question is, will it rise? And now we know since the 21st or 22nd of December, every single day gives us one more minute of sunlight until the middle of June. The length of our day has expanded as far as it's going to go. Why? Because God told the sun to keep shining. I believe that God's word is more sure. God is even more sure than his word is. God has made a promise to you. He will bring it to pass. God called Abram. God promised Abram. But he also had to trust God's plan. You've trusted God called you. You've trusted God has promised you. Now you got to trust God's plans. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. I, for one, are so thankful that my thoughts are not his thoughts or that his thoughts aren't my thoughts. I am so thankful I don't understand everything about God. If I understood everything about God, God would have been shrunken down to my size. And God wouldn't be able to do anything unless I was able to understand it. Why don't you just release God in 2022? Lord, your ways are so superior to mine. I trust your plan. I just know where you're taking this thing. You're taking this to be a host which is innumerable. You have waited these 20 millennia since the church was so first birthed so that there could be the greatest population the earth has ever seen. Some demographers estimate there are more people on the face of the earth now than there has ever been all added together. God, why have you waited so long? Because I want my spirit to be felt by more people. That's what God is up to. I don't know how he's going to bring it to pass, but he said so, so I believe it. Now, you might have heard someone say, that is so sure you can take that to the bank. But I've seen banks fail. Don't take it to the bank, but this is a promise that goes all the way to glory. And we're not going by ourselves. We're taking sheaves with us. We're taking neighbors with us. We're taking family with us. We're taking Afghanistan refugees that have been brought to our country. We're taking some of those with us. We're taking some of those Hmong folk that stick together in their little communities. God's going to give us insight in how to speak and witness there. We're going to take those that are campaigning for their own private rights. We're going to take some of those with us. That's what God has called us to do, promised to do, and has a plan to bring it to pass. And finally, God's going to provide for us along the way. Abraham had to recognize if God called, God promised, God planned, then God would provide. He is your provider this night. Please don't say, but I don't have a child. Please don't say to God's offering of blessings, but I have this problem. Instead, say, Lord, you called me, and you promised, and you gave plans, and now you're going to provide. God's plan is to restore all things, and it's going to happen. Abraham was justified by faith, that faith would lead him to an act of trust. We know from the book of James that Abraham was justified by faith, but his faith had works. Those works built trust into his life. Let the tragedies of 2020 and 2021 begin to lead you in an act of trusting the Lord. Our government has proven they don't have solutions. All we got to do is flatten the curve, right? It's only going to take us 3 months. We'll flatten the curve on this thing. It's all going to be over. So y'all just stay in your house. Don't go anywhere. Wash everything that you have ever touched. Wash every doorknob. Wash every rail. Wash everything all the time. Because in 3 months, we can flatten the curve, and this is all going to be gone. They don't have an answer, so what should that remind you and remind me? I'm in the Master's hand. I'm going to trust him. You might say, well, Brother Little, some were trusting him when they died of COVID. Evidently, that brings glory to him in some way. We're going to trust him, though he slay me, Job said. I'm going to trust him. Abraham had to learn to walk in a way of faith till he could trust completely. We can be seen in the offering of Isaac that we saw this morning, that he got to the place where he could trust to do what God had intended for him. But a journey is needed to learn to trust. But stand together, shall we? Tonight we could pray, Lord, I want to trust you more. You know what the Lord's response is going to be? His response is going to be, are you ready for the road? Are you ready for the circumstances to learn to trust me? You see, trust is not in a warehouse where God finally opens up the door And we fill up all of our pockets, inside pockets, outside pockets, front pockets, back pockets. Open up our fancy socks and shove some more trust in there. Get our gloves out there and fill them up with buckets of trust, and our hats, fill them up with trust, and we carry all this reserve of trust. No, 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 that's not how we receive trust. We receive trust by walking the road he has in front of us. And every time an obstacle comes up, whether from nature or from my own creation, I say, Lord, I'm going to learn to trust you in this situation, because this is the only way I'm going to learn trust, is walking this road. I'm wondering if it's all right with you. You don't have to receive the prayer if it's not all right. But I wonder if it's all right if I could pray a prayer of the journey over 2022. Not a prayer that the road be easy. Not a prayer that all the obstacles would be removed. Not a prayer that you would experience the best life now in 2022. But I pray that the journey that the Master has in front of you, that you would learn to respond with trust more and more. That by this time in June or July, by the middle of the year, you would be able to say, we have sought first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and he has taken care of everything else. And I have learned to trust him because of the journey. If you're willing to receive that prayer, would you raise a hand right now? Lord Jesus, you see these prayers, these hands that are raised right now. I pray the blessing of a journey on them. I pray the blessing of the way on them, a blessing where they know that they are called, a blessing where they know you have promised, a blessing where they understand you have a plan, even though you don't reveal it to us, a blessing, O Lord, to know that you are the provider. I pray, O Lord, that the journey on the first half of this year take them to a dimension of trust in you that they have never known before, that they can pray in a dimension they have never prayed before. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. As we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, you will provide all other things. Oh Lord, we trust you. We trust you that you will sustain us on the journey. Lord, I pray right now for Sherry and me in 2022, that the journey that you have in front of us be a journey that ends with us learning to depend on you and to trust in you and to lean into your mercies no matter what it looks like in the specifics of the circumstances. I trust you, Lord Jesus. I trust you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray a caring spirit in Apostolic Church. I pray a caring spirit in the house, O Lord, so that when a brother and sister is going through a difficult part in the journey, we surround them with prayer and we surround them with mercies of love, O Lord, so that their trust can be nourished and grow and mature. That we resist the urge of demanding a miracle when you're wanting us to go through a season of drought so that you can build confidence in your goodness. That we resist the prayer of wanting an easier walk when you're asking us to walk by faith, a walk of trust in you. I pray that compassion on this congregation of believers, O Lord, so we can sustain each other. I pray that my next time that I get to visit, Lord, that there be a growing of trust. If I have a privilege of coming sometime this summer, O Lord, I want to see a house that's filled with trust. Oh, there might have been obstacles and there might have been trials, but we will be lavishly blessed with a life of trust. That's our desire this night, O Lord, for 2022. Teach me, O Lord. Teach me, O Lord, to trust you. Teach me to trust you. Teach me to trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Sometimes things you can learn by reading a book. I like to read. But there's some things you got to read the book and then you got to put the book down. You're not going to learn to cook by reading 3,000 pages of a cookbook. Instead, you're going to walk into the kitchen. You're going to put on an apron and pull out some pans. You're going to preheat the oven. You're going to start mixing some ingredients. And when that first souffle falls, you know what you're going to do? You're going to scrub it out and feed it to the mutt, and then you're going to start all over again. Why? Because you want to make that perfect souffle. And it only happens by staying in the kitchen. Brothers and sisters, you cannot learn this life of trust. You cannot even learn it by reading the book of books. You're going to read the book, and you're going to be nourished by its word. But what you're going to have to do is take one more step and say, Lord, by this step, by this situation, I'm going to learn to trust you more. If you're willing to step on the journey path, would you come to this altar this evening? Let's join together in prayer as we raise our hands to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Bind us together as we walk on this journey. You have called us. You have called us to new life. You have called us to new life through the genealogy, O Lord. You have called us to answer your high with our own, here I am, Lord. And now this evening you're asking us to seal the deal by saying, Lord, where you lead me, I will follow. I will follow all the way. I know there's going to be some obstacles. I know there's going to be some problems in the way, but I will not quit. And I will not step aside, and I will stand arm in arm with my brothers and sisters as we walk. Where you lead, we will follow.